Join me in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the reminder today that we are made for more. Lord, I thank you that you have taken us from the grave, the death and the shame that we once felt, and are feeling alive and well, that we are lifted up because of your great power and your great mercy, that you would send your son Jesus to come to this earth and do what we could not. Not only live a perfect life, but be the perfect sacrifice for the sins that we have committed, for the wrongs that we have done, and for the world and its sin and shame. But you sent your son on a mission to save us. Thank you, God, for that. Thank you that you have taken us up out of the grave and placed us in your presence. You have made us righteous. You have made us white as snow. And God, we are so very grateful. Thank you for the redemption that you have brought. Thank you for the salvation that you have given and the promise of a future. And we are so very grateful. God, as we think about today, we celebrate Mother's Day. And I know, Lord, that when we think about this day, we each approach it with different thoughts in mind. For some, it's pure joy. It's the excitement of children, and it's the excitement of the busyness of life. For others, Lord, it's painful for a variety of reasons. Painful because of the loss of a mom. Painful because of the loss of children. Painful for other reasons. But we thank you for the moms in our lives, the moms that have nurtured and cared for us, the moms that are not our biological moms, but have cared for us in different ways. And we are so blessed by the people that you put in our lives, God. So will you bless today in a major way? Will you work in the lives of those that we call mom? And will you care for them in beautiful and wonderful ways? Thank you, Lord. And this week, as we go from one place to the next, as we go to home and to work and to other things going on in our lives, Lord, will you direct our paths? Will you guide us? Will you give us the insight that we need? But will you also open our eyes to see those that are around us that need your work in their lives? Maybe they need a reminder that you are real. Maybe they need a reminder that you are present and willing and able to be their Lord and Savior. Maybe for others, Lord, they just need a reminder that they can walk with you every day of their lives. God, will you work? Will you do things that we can only look back and say at the end of this week, that was God. That was our Savior. That was Jesus. And I pray, Father, that you would do that in our lives. For those of us that have big decisions like doctor's appointments and life decisions and job situations and future plans, God, will you walk along with us? Lord, will you put people in our lives that help us to answer the questions that we might have about you or about life or about other things? God, will you provide in great ways this week? God, you are so good, and we worship you, we love you, and we thank you. We thank you, first of all, that you loved us first. And we get to say we love you too. Thank you, God. We pray all this in your son's glorious name, the name of Jesus. And everyone says, amen. 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 Well, good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing today? Doing okay? Hanging in there? Fantastic. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. So glad that that you are here with us, with your family, and we're glad that you're here. I do want to begin our time together with a Happy Mother's Day quiz. I know. I want to see how smart you are when it comes to Mother's Day items. So keep track in your own brain on what you think the answers are, and maybe it's just bragging rights among your family, okay, or the people sitting next to you, and we'll just have a little bit of fun. First of all, let's look at the first question. Which U.S. president officially established Mother's Day as a holiday? George Bush, Calvin Coolidge, Woodrow Wilson, or Abraham Lincoln? If you didn't know that Calvin Coolidge and Woodrow Wilson were presidents, hold on. Well, yeah, I mean, go ahead and go back to it now. Mark, go ahead. Okay. If you didn't know, now the answer is C. So, if you had the chance to make a guess and you guessed anything else besides C, you got it wrong. But now, if you didn't get a guess, now you know. All right. Hold on, Mark. Let's go to the next one. And pause. Which flower is traditionally associated with Mother's Day? Carnation, tulip, rose, azalea. You cannot phone a friend, so don't do that. But make your decision, keep it in your brain, and let's see what the answer is. Carnation. All right. So if you've gotten that one right and you got the first one right, that means you got 2 points. If you didn't get any of them right, you got zero, and just hold that amongst yourselves. Let's go to the next one. In the animated series Peppa Pig, if you don't know what that is, neither do I, what is the name of Peppa's mother? Is it Geraldine, Violet, Mother, or Mummy Pig? I know. We're still pausing, Mark. Still pausing. If you don't know this one, I don't blame you. Blame the writer. That's me. Let's go. Mummy Pig. Okay. So, I mean, that one was kind of given because pig, you know. Okay. Maybe not. Let's go to the next one. Okay. Which ancient civilization, testing your history skills, celebrated a festival called Matrimonia to honor mothers? Egyptians, Romans, Aztecs, or Persians? Make your guess. Don't advance yet. Make your guess. Oh, let's see. And it's, you can't do 50-50, so you can't do any of that stuff. And if you got your answer in, let's go to the answer. Romans. Okay, so that was that number three or number four? That was four. Okay, so do we have anybody that has gotten all four right so far? You got Woodrow Wilson only? That's it? I was asking for all four. Anybody got all four right? Okay, we got one or two? Okay, all right. Fantastic. Let's go to the next one. How many flowers, and this is our fifth and final one, how many flowers are estimated to be sold in the U.S. for Mother's Day celebrations each year? 250 million, 1 billion, 50 million, or 800,000. Make your best guess. Think about that one for just a little bit. I know they get tougher as they go. Okay, everybody made their decision? Let's go to the next one. 250 million. Those that were, anybody get them all right? Or is he just pointing to you just because? You did. Okay. All right. Congratulations. If you got the most of the people sitting next to you, congratulations. You have bragging rights for the rest of the day, only today. And if you are a gentleman, you will say, honey or sweetie, you got them all. And congratulations. That's the way that goes. happy Mother's Day. Just a little fun for us today to know a little bit more about Mother's Day. Let's go to our next slide. And just a reminder for you, we are doing something called this summer. It's called 3x3 Groups. And what we are doing, we are inviting you to sign up, be a part of our 3x3 Groups. And what we're doing is during the summertime, you are going to be your family group, whether that's a couple or a single or an entire family, you are going to be paired up with two other family groups. And then during the summer, during once in June, once in July, and once in August, you'll get together with those two other family groups and enjoy some fun of your decisions and just spending some time together, getting to know other people in the church. And it's low commitment, but it's fun, and it's supposed to be fun. So you get to help with planning out what your events would be. If that interests you, we would love for you to sign up in the kitchen window. And if you get to the bottom of the list and there's no more lines for you to sign up on, turn the page over and create some new lines and write your name down. And then what we will do at the end of this month, we will do a random draw, and you will be paired up or tripled up with other folks in the church. And I really am looking forward to it. And I think it's going to be a great idea, a way for you to get to know two other family groups for the summer months. Next announcement is that we have been asked and encouraged and excited about serving at the Nixon Elementary Spring Carnival, which is taking place Thursday, May 15th from 4:30 to 7:30. Low commitment as far as you show up and you help kids play games. That's the exciting part, is that it's carnival games and the school already has everything for you. You just get to hang out, play the game with the kids, and serve the kids that come through and their families, and just a fun evening. I did it last year with my family, and we had an absolute blast. And I would encourage you that if you have 3 hours on Thursday, we'd love for you to sign up. If you're interested, talk to me today. Or you can go out to our Facebook page. We've posted the link there, and you can sign up. If you're thinking, oh, you know, I really want to go, but I can only be there for an hour, we can figure that out. So let me know. We'd love for you to be there. And this is just a way for us as a community to rub shoulders with our community and let them know that they are loved, and that we as a church would love to help them, serve them, and just be a part of the body of Christ together and be a part of our community. So we'd love for you to do that. If you have any questions, let me know. Glad to answer any of them for you. Today is Children's Church Day, and so we're going to go ahead and dismiss our kids for Children's Church. Your leader is going to be beating you in the back, and then you guys will go for Children's Church today. As they're heading out, grab your Bibles, whether they are digitally or if they are hard copy. I know those are always cool. Break out your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Today's sermon is titled, More Than Eyes and Ears. The Apostle Paul wrote a letter to the Corinthian church, and it's one of the more lengthier letters in the New Testament. And Paul was doing a variety of things, but a number of things he was doing was providing some correction. He was also providing some teaching. He was also providing some leading and some explanation of what's going on and in the church. But also, he jumps in and he starts talking about spiritual gifts, and he starts talking about the importance of unity in the church. And there's this whole section in chapter 12 that we pick up in verses 12 and following that is really, really important. And I want to spend some time here today talking about more than eyes and ears. So let's jump into God's word today. Verse 12 and following. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we are all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body. Verse 15. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weak are indispensable. And the parts of that you think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed the church, first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, and then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. Ooh, this is fun stuff. Lots to cover, lots to think about in this passage of Scripture. Now, I know and I understand that as we get into the text and we look at all the things that are going on there, we need to address the greater context of what is going on in the passage of Scripture. The greater context is that the primary subject matter is the issue of spiritual gifts, the gifts of the Spirit that the Spirit of God, that is the third person of the Trinity, gives to you and to me, spiritual gifts that are used for the kingdom of God. And something that we have to remember when it comes to spiritual gifts is that there are two primary roles of spiritual gifts, okay? Two primary roles. First one is this, is that the first role of spiritual gifts is to glorify God. Simple. Say that with me. Glorify God. I wanted you to say simple. Come on. I'm just kidding. It is to glorify God. That is the primary way that spiritual gifts are to be used. So if you have a spiritual gift that you know what it is, that gift is not about you. It is about bringing God glory. That's the primary gift. The second is to edify the church. Say that with me. Edify the church. Now, I could have said simple right there and we would have totally gotten lost. But it's to edify the church. So we glorify God, okay? That's that vertical relationship between us and God. And then we edify the church. That is the horizontal relationship that we have with people and the body of Christ. That is the primary roles of spiritual gifts. They are important, and you have spiritual gifts. If you don't know what they are, we need to talk about what those are. So That is important. So just before I move on, let's remember that when it comes to edifying, that is to edify the body. That is to help the body do what it's supposed to do, help the church do what it's supposed to do. It is to build up the church. It's not just about, I'm going to use my gift one time, and because I used it that one time, I edified the body. No, it's utilizing the things that God has given you to benefit the body and to glorify God. And so we need to be remembering that these things are the primary things that Paul is talking about in this. And it's very easy for us to take the spiritual gifts that God has given us and say, well, because I don't have that, I can't do that. And because I don't do that, then I'm not valued. And Paul's addressing that particular issue right here, right now. And he's using it through the spiritual gifts in the greater conversation. And he's utilizing it in just the general ways in which we're going to talk about. So Paul has three things that I want to talk about. The first one is that unity matters. Unity matters. You are a part of something bigger. That's the second thing that I want to talk about today. And then the third part is that we need each other. Okay, those are three things that I think Paul is pretty clear in talking about based on the passage of scripture that we are already have already read today. So verses 14 and 20 say practically the same thing. It says in verse 14, now the body is not made up of one part, but many. And then in verse 20, it says, as it is, there are many parts, but one body. You catch that? Pretty much the same thing. The body that Paul is talking about is the church. The church is the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. And Paul talks about Jesus being the head of the church in other passages of scripture. That is the church. So let's make sure we get that. And just like the human body, it is made up of different parts that all makes the body what it is. One whole thing with many different parts. Before I get into another passage of scripture, I'm going to have just a little bit of fun, okay? I've already had fun this morning, and I hope that you are as well. John, can you come up here?
Me?
Yep. Mr. Jim Appleby, can you come up? You guys can just stand right over here, okay? All right. Jacob, come on up. Yeah, stand next to these guys over here.
Look at how strong they
are. Handsome guys, right? Yeah. That was really slow. Goodness. Okay. Each of them has one body, right?
Yeah.
One body. That would be weird if there was two or more. Each of them has the same parts, but they're used in different functions, right? John has really long legs, and they're used to take him really long steps along the way. Jim and Jacob, we have a little bit shorter legs that take us a little bit faster. Okay? They're males. They're men. But God has designed them differently for a reason. Each church is made up of his people, God's people. And they are different in every way, right? If you go to another church just down the road, it will be a different church. In fact, if you started attending Living Hope a number of years ago, you arrived today to a different church than you went to when it very first started.
Yep.
Because the body changes. And our bodies change. But the reality is that many parts, one body. Different sizes, different heights, different shortness, different shoulder width, different pipes, Jacob. Different, but the same. Right? Now, John has some bionic parts. A couple of knees and things like that. But the reality is, same, but different. And Paul's talking about that today. Let's give these guys a round of applause. Thank you, guys. So I do that to illustrate a couple of things, because when we think about the body, sometimes we think that it's all got to be uniformed and specific and the right way, and the body's not. But the body is specifically the way that God wants it to be. Verse 12 and 13 says, just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. And this is what matters. Many parts forming one body, unified by the one Spirit. And you and I, if we have been baptized, we have been baptized in this one Spirit of God, one name that is the name of God, regardless of who we are and where we are from. There is a unity that matters in the oneness of Christ and the oneness of his body. When we are in Christ Jesus. And this matters. It matters so much that we are unified as one body under our one Savior. Right? Yeah. It really matters. So what we as a church and who we are, we need to be unified under the head that is the church, that is our Lord and Savior. Second point, you are a part of something bigger. Let's say that together. You are a part of something bigger. Now that sounds kind of encouraging, doesn't it? That you, because we're saying it, you, we're talking to each other, we are a part of something bigger. Verses 15 through 20 says this, now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Paul addresses this issue of not just of unity, but the fact that we are of something bigger with a ridiculous illustration. And I find it hilarious. But then he also throws in some ifs in there. If this and if that and if this. And the illustration might be a bit much, but it makes a lot of sense. It might sound silly, but if the foot could talk, if the foot could say, well, because I'm not a hand, I don't need to be a part of the body. And so therefore the foot ceases to exist. Now, isn't that silly? It is. It's absolutely silly, because if a part of the body could speak and said, you know what, my elbow, I'm not the hand, so therefore the elbow doesn't exist, and I just kind of walk around with a stiffness, it'd be silly. Paul's making a really important point, because he's comparing the body to the church, and when we say, well, because I'm not the pastor, I don't matter. Because I'm not a board member, I don't matter. Because I'm not a trustee, I don't matter. Oh, because I'm not a youth leader or a children's church leader or this or that. And because I'm not, I don't have value. That's what Paul is correcting here. And he's using a silly illustration of the foot saying, I'm not a hand, and so therefore, since I'm not a hand, I don't exist. And then he goes to the ear and says, well, because I'm not an eye, does that mean that I shouldn't be a part of the body? What if the eye, the ear actually said that, and the ear just bloop, fell right off? Silly, right? Paul can get a little silly. But the truth is that just because different parts of the body may not function like other parts of the body doesn't mean that their value is any less. And they don't not cease to exist. And here's where the rubber meets the road. Differences exist. Differences exist. Just like our bodies, in the church, there are differences. You have spiritual gifts that other people don't have. And what they have isn't any more important than what you have. You might have the gift of administration. You can organize and run things that other people can't do, and we need you. Or maybe you have a gift of leadership, and we need you to plug in there. Our differences matter. You and I are different, but that doesn't diminish the gifts that God has given you. How would it be? How would it be if the whole body were your favorite body part? Okay? The whole body. Your whole body was your hair. How luxurious it is, that is the existence of your body. Where would you eat at? How would you eat? How would you see? How would you hear? How would you smell? How would you? If your favorite body part was your mouth, because that's where you get your food from, how awesome is that, right? But you don't, you're just like this big, huge mouth. Now, that could go a lot of different ways, right? That's what your friends used to say to you, maybe. Big mouth. I got that a few times. See how absurd that is? You are made up of so much more than just one part of your body. The church is made up of so much more than just one part of the body. God has placed you exactly where He wanted, and you are a part of something bigger. You are a part of this particular body, and you are vital. There's no appendixes here. Come on. Seriously, the appendix can be taken out and there's no problems, right? Man, we're not awake yet, are we? Okay. Now, if I said we're all hearts and you all have a heart and we took that out of the body, we'd get that really quick, right? I digress. The truth of the matter is that we are all different, but we all play a part in the body of Christ. You are an important part of the whole. Together, when we work together and we do the work and we bring God glory, we realize that we are a part of something bigger. And no matter where you're at in your faith journey, if you are a brand new follower of Jesus, or you've been a follower of Jesus for 70 years, you are no more important than the other. We all carry certain importances because of the gifting that God has given us. And I think that's something that we sometimes forget. That when we are a part and we are doing our part for the glory of God, we are a vital part of the body of Christ. And I want you to understand that you are exactly where God has placed you to be. You are exactly where you are supposed to be, and you are a part of something bigger. You're a part of the church universal. Not just Living Hope, but the worldwide church that is bringing God glory all across the world. Let's not forget that. Third thought is this, is that we need each other. Verses 21 through 26 says this: the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that it lacked, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Paul is brilliant here because he continues on with this illustration of the body, and he's telling us that the eye can only do so much, and the head, as amazing as it is, can only do so much. And that is the exact same way as it is here at a church, is that only you can do so much. And only you can do so much, and only we can do so much. We can only do so much on our own, but when we work together, when we are the body of Christ together, we can accomplish a whole lot. Can you imagine if one part of the body did all the heavy lifting? Can you imagine that? Say that the heart not only does it pump all the blood, but it's what makes the muscles move, and it's what makes the joints do its thing. It's what makes the body move. If the heart was responsible for everything that was going on, digestion, which the heart doesn't do the digestion, but it does the blood flow that goes to the stomach. And we're just having a little anatomy lesson today. But think about that. The heart would be really worn out and tired. If the lungs had to do more than breathing and had to do some heavy lifting, had to grow arms so that it could pick things up. Now, that's weird. But think about that. If the lungs had to do more than breathing, what would happen to those lungs? The same is for the church. When certain parts of the body do more, they get worn out. They get tired. And sometimes we need others to help us out. Can you imagine? I mean, we've kind of talked about it already, that if one part of the body could say to the other part of the body, I don't need you, that's what happened to my hair. But but the idea is that we never want to think that way, that we are more important than others. But this is what was happening in the church at that point in time. The church in Corinth was saying that if you didn't have this spiritual gift, then you are in not of value as everybody else. And Paul is correcting them and saying, no. Those spiritual gifts, those are not for you. Those are for edifying and glorifying. Those spiritual gifts, they don't have one more hierarchy than any other. And most of the time, they were talking about the spiritual gift of tongues. That if you didn't speak in tongues, then you weren't enough. And that's not what Paul's talking about. Paul is saying, no, each of these gifts are important. We don't neglect, and we don't say that things are invaluable compared to one another or anything like that. We need all of the parts of all of the body in order to function. And you and I need it as well. Now, let's not Yeah, we'll talk about it for a real quick moment. Number of years ago, like way older than me, my dad lost the tip of his finger. And I can't even remember for sure what the accident was, but got it cut right off. So he's just got this stub, like right there. Lost the first knuckle. I loved that thing when I was little because I would like to poke at it. And then I realized that there's no feeling at the end of there. And so when I got into trouble, that kind of hurt. My dad would tell a story, and I won't tell that story because I don't want to gross you out. It was about the nose and things like that. I can tell you later if you want to hear it. But anyways, he would scare kids with his finger and his nose. And you can imagine, you can kind of put things together. But did part of his body kind of cease to exist? Yeah, it did. Can he still function without that particular part of his body? Yeah. He doesn't pick things up very well with that finger. He also doesn't, like when he kind of grips there with those two fingers, it doesn't quite work well because he doesn't have that first knuckle. But he learned to kind of deal with it. Just like we kind of learn to deal without an appendix, or we learn to deal without a gallbladder. Our bodies are amazing in the way that they work. But the body of Christ is specifically designed. Our bodies are specifically designed to be able to function and to move and to do what it's supposed to do. Can we function with a little bit less? We can't. The body of Christ, I think, is a little bit different. We shouldn't have to function with a little bit less, because we all should be a part of what God is doing, because we need each other. We need each other, not only just for encouragement. We need each other to be able to encourage one another. But we need each other that when I'm going through a crisis, I need people to be able to talk with me and help me out through those crisis moments. When you're going through situations, you need people in the body of Christ to lean on, because we are supposed to lean on others, and they are supposed to help us, and we're supposed to help them. That's what we should be. That's what the body should be. That when there's a problem, it's not our other friends that we might be calling, but it might be our church body that we call to help us along the way. That's really, really important. So the body of Christ needs each other. Every part to do what God has called it to do, to reach the masses, to share the gospel, to meet needs, to be the very hands of Jesus. And that is what we're supposed to do. We need each other. So what does this passage mean for us today? First of all, it means that while we're all very different, you and I and everybody else, we have different skills. We have different abilities. We have different ideas. We have different gifts. We have different ways of working things out. We have different mentalities that when it comes to certain things, we order and we organize and we do things differently. But we all need to be a part of it. It is what is common that brings us together, and that is Jesus. That is the one commonality that we all have. We may not have anything else in common, but we have Jesus. And that should really set us apart. We've all been united in Christ for the glory of Christ and the building of his kingdom. And so when that is the unifying piece, because unity matters, if we're not divided, or if we are divided, guess what will happen to the church? If we start thinking that our certain gifts and abilities are more important, or our ways are more important than others, guess what happens to the church? It falls apart. We have to believe that we are a part of something bigger. And I think that this one particular point is probably the one that I can't emphasize enough, is that we're a part of something bigger, and that something bigger is Jesus. If we're not serving him, that means that we're serving something else that is not him. And that's a problem. We are serving Jesus and his church. And the gates of hell will not come against Jesus and his church. We all need to remember our why. Why are we a part of his body? And we need to remember what our mission is, and why we are here, and what we are doing, and what the church is all about. And if we remembered that, I think a lot of other things would go away. A lot of other problems, a lot of other issues, a lot of other things would disappear. Finally, we need each other. I know I've already said it, and I'm just kind of rehashing here. Not one of us can accomplish the mission of the church by themselves. Let that sink in for just a little bit. The mission of Living Hope Wesleyan Church is to build a loving and caring church community. I lost it. It disappeared. It went. It was there, and then it went away. We exist to build a loving and caring community of Christ and disciples in Jesus. I lost it again. It was right there. The tongue is not working today. But not one of us can accomplish that mission on our own. You can't, and I can't. Even as your pastor, I can't solve the mission for us. The co-mission, that is the big picture of what Jesus came to do, that is to make disciples, to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We can't accomplish that on our own. But when we are one body, we can do a whole lot. So none of us can do it on our own. And sometimes when we get tired, we need others to lean on. Sometimes when we get discouraged, because we do get discouraged, you get discouraged when you're leading in certain areas and things don't go the way that you want to. And when you get discouraged, you need others to lift you up. So church body, help your leaders, your small group leader, your children's church leaders, your youth leaders, your other leaders, lift them up. When we're hurt emotionally, we might need a listening ear. So you know what you do? You build relationship with others so that when they are hurting, you're there to listen. Sometimes it's just listening. It's not solving. I'm really good at listening and saying, okay, now we need to solve this problem. Anybody else like that? Okay, lots of us. I just went right through that. But sometimes we just need to be a listening ear. So today, as I close, this is the last thing that I want you to remember, is that you have a purpose. We have a purpose. No matter what, we have a role to play in Jesus's church. We have a ministry and a mission that God has given us. And we all have a place to serve. We all have people in our lives that need to be discipled. And we have opportunities to exercise the gifts that God has given us. And we need to be willing to encourage those around us. Unity matters. We are a part of something bigger, and we need each other. I come off of this sermon because of the joy that we celebrated last week in our local church conference. We really had a good year of ministry, And my hope is that we as a church, as we think about this next year of ministry, that we will all jump in and be a part of what God is doing. There's a lot of ways that we can serve. But can I ask you the number one thing that you can do to be a part of the church is pray. Daily on your knees, metaphorically or physically, praying for the ministry of Jesus in this church. Because without that, our foundations are weak. So be praying. Second thought, how might you serve this year? How might you get involved? The third is this, last one. Who are you willing to disciple? We desire to be a church that are a church of disciples that make disciples. And the only way we can do that is if we ourselves are discipled. And when we've been discipled, we start discipling others. And that's what our hope is. Because we are a people of disciples. So let's jump in. Let's do what God has called us to do and know that we are more than eyes and ears. We are a part of the body. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we rejoice knowing that you are Lord and Savior. We rejoice knowing that you are the one who has called us to this place to be a part of your church in this place, serving you first and foremost, and knowing that each of us has gifts, gifts that are to bring you glory and edify the body, that is to build up this church. And I am so grateful for the gifts that you have given this body. Lord, you have blessed us in great ways for your kingdom, first and foremost. And we thank you for the ways that you bless. You are so good. So good. But help us to remember. Help us to remember that while we all have gifts, there are not ones that are more important than others. And it is so good that we have different gifts because it builds the kingdom better. And the gifts that I may have and the gifts that others may have, they balance each other out for the glory of your kingdom. Help us to remember that, God. And help us to remember that the unity in the body matters, that we are part of something bigger, and we need one another. God, you are good. We worship you, we love you, and we thank you that you loved us first. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's a joy to worship with you today. Thank you so very much. Forgot to tell you that use the QR code at some point in time today. If you find it out in the hallway, utilize it. Let us know that you're here. There's something that you'd like to be prayed over. We'd love to pray for you in that way. And happy Mother's Day once again. Let's close our time together with worship. Let's stand and sing together.